Praise God. The world today does not take too much notice of the church. The devil has many churches fighting one another, and he has them throwing stones at one another. And the demon spirits, they sit back and laugh. For most, Satan has stolen the true joy of the living God that is your strength. God, though, is looking for men and women who are concerned about the church, like Paul was. Men who will take time and pray and seek the heart of the living God. Men who will wrestle in prayer with God, like Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, a prince or a prevailer with God. Men like Moses, who was a great intercessor. Men like Elijah, who had power with God. A man who told old Ahab in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Awesome power. But he had power with God. How did he get this power? Because he was on his face to God. He spoke only what God told him to speak. Elijah was hearing from God. God's looking for men like Daniel. Men who will wrestle with principalities and powers. And the rulers of darkness of this world, who are standing against the church to destroy it. Men like David, that always knows, no matter what it looks like in the natural, God has the victory. And last but not least, men like Christ Jesus, who are always in tune with the Father. God's looking for men who are concerned about souls and the church of Jesus Christ, and not themselves. God's looking, and he's looking for men who are instant in season and out of season. Men that won't give up until they see Jerusalem, the city of peace, a praise in the earth. The message, keep not silent. Keep not silent. The text is Isaiah 62, verses 1, 6, and 7. Give you just a moment to find it. We'll be here for a little while. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Verse 6, I have set appointed watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace. Ye, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of Yahweh, keep not silence. And give him no rest, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Here, in this particular scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. We know it's the prophet Isaiah, but we know it also is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is Christ speaking and saying that he will not hold his peace for Zion's sake. Why? Because God has put this great plan of His into our hands. And He is calling us not only for a love relationship with Jesus Christ, not only to have power and dominion over demon spirits, but the Lord Jesus is calling us to be intercessors. Jesus is calling us to be intercessors with Him. Jesus is saying, I will not rest. Here are just three ways Christ is not holding His peace. Number one, through His blood. Christ is not holding His peace through His blood. In a sense, it is still flowing from Calvary. And what He did on Calvary is speaking loud and clear. Satan knows this. And so does his filthy, foul demon spirits. And they'll tell you this. There's not a Christian on the face of this universe that should be walking around condemned because of the blood of Jesus Christ is still speaking loud and clear. Jesus Christ is not holding His peace. He is saying, because of my blood, you can walk free from sin. You can walk free from bondage because of what I did on Calvary. I shed my precious, pure, holy blood. He's not holding His peace. Number two, by His Spirit. Christ is not holding His peace by His Spirit. He's moving on the hearts of many in the Church of Jesus Christ, not only here, but universal. And He is saying to them, come, watch, pray with me. Number three, through His true called, Spirit-filled ministers, Christ is not holding His peace. Men like Jimmy Swaggart, who is raised up to be a trumpet in Israel because the church sleeps. Christ is concerned and He is not holding His peace. This man is calling sin, sin. And the church is beginning to get stirred because Christ is not holding His peace. He is not keeping silent. Men like David Wilkerson, a man that is calling sin for what sin is willing to be called a legalist and every other name that demon spirits would give people. But he is still standing up for the truth of the living God. Nevertheless, what Satan would do. Number three, men like Don Barnett, who is also a God-called teacher and a pastor, who is in a sense being hid by the Holy Ghost because the church universal is not ready for us yet. But yet God is using him to stir us and to shape us and mold us into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Christ is not holding His peace. Christ is not holding His peace because He loves souls. And He loves His church. We're His church. He wants to rescue many who are on their way to hell. And it's us who He's going to use. We're going to be windows. Nobody will be seen but Christ Jesus. His love and tenderness and compassion, mercy will be seen in our eyes as we minister under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. If you could see with spiritual eyes and see what demon spirits are doing to some of God's people, they've got many walking around with nooses around their necks. And they got them blindfolded. And they're doing this. Ha ha. Ha ha. They think they're having fun. But we're taking them to the lake of fire. They're going right with us. And they're going to feel exactly what we're going to feel. We don't want to have that mess by ourselves. Ha-ha. We've got them blind. We've got the church in confusion. We've entered into some of the music. What are you going to do about it? But Jesus Christ is not holding his peace. This message is designed to stir you to see that Jesus Christ wants you to watch with him. And that he wants you to intercede with him on the behalf of his body. God expects his people, and especially his ministers, and his ministers to be standing in the gap with Christ. Too many, though, are concerned about themselves and their own ministry, as my brother brought out this morning. Many watchmen in the Church of Jesus Christ Universal are too concerned about the latest at the horse tracks. Sad to say, the golf course. Many are sitting up for 24 hours, it seems like, and watching too many baseball and basketball games. And the TV. And the filth on it. And Satan says, sleep on. Sleep on, for I am taking more souls with me to hell as you sleep on. But Christ, in his mercy, and by his Spirit and through his angels, are coming to many. Watch with the Savior. Watch with the Savior. He's calling you, watch. Many are looking at their own problems too much. When instead God wants us to get our eyes off of our problems and not carry them, but to throw them at Christ's feet. For he cares for you. And we have to believe that God is God and that he changes not. And that he is big enough to take care of your problem. Jesus is not holding his peace. I addressed the question this morning. Will we be a people that will stand in the gap? Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. I've got it written down so you don't have to turn. You can just listen with me. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. The New American Standard Version reads like this. And I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall. And that wall speaks of truth and protection. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Here God couldn't find a man to stand in the gap with him. But God, though, wants us to be standing in the gap with him in this last day move of God. Hallelujah. For souls, for the church, and for his work to go forth. God's going to have a man. And it's going to be a man-child company. Who will be made up of ones, not only with a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not only with authority and dominion over demon spirits, but men and women with power with God, intercessors, standing in the gap with Christ, pulling down strongholds of the devil. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Glory to God. God wants to flow through us. And he wants to flow through you. More and more. But we have got to be waiting upon the Lord. And allowing him to get the sin out of our lives. and the cities. Cities? Demons. When the move of deliverance first started, Christ came, in a sense, like Joshua, and he took many major demons out of our lives or cities. And then most went to sleep in deliverance. But now Christ is coming like David, and he's going to get the remaining cities. And then Solomon's going to come, and he's going to build a temple and place his name within it. Anointed of the living God. Christ to be seen throughout the world. You know, the demons lie in wait to destroy you. They wait to destroy your soul. They're working right now, but they're bound. Christ bound them because he wants you to hear this message this morning. That's the truth. Every time a man of God gets up to this pulpit, and when they pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to bind demons, God says yes, because my word is important, and I want my people that are in need of life to hear my word. Be bound, demons. Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. And the demon spirits bow before him. Dealing with a particular demon spirit by the name of Jezebel. And this egotistic demon spirit begin to speak out of this person's mouth. And to begin to say things like, doing these things like this. And told me that he was not going. He sits on the throne. But the word of God was quickened to me. And I began to look that filthy, foul spirit right between his eyes. And I said, demon, who is Lord? And that spirit didn't want to talk. I said, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Lord? Jesus. Say it again, demon. Jesus. I said, this is what I want you to say, spirit. Jesus is Lord. And it did all this, looked at me, and it said, Jesus is Lord. And has another person that was in the room with me begin to intercede in the spirit. This demon said, stop it. I said, why, spirit? Angels are coming. What type, demon? Warrior. What else? Rejoicing. That's the truth. And you know that spirit came off the throne and left that sister's body. Hallelujah. And it took a whole lot with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the demons lie in wait to destroy you. And if you don't get rid of them, they'll get rid of you. That's the truth. If you don't get rid of them, brother and sister, they'll consume you. And with that, I go back to what Barbara was talking about. God spoke through that woman. It was anointed. Prophecy. And Barbara got back up and said that she could see us. In a sense, going on a mountain. I hope I got this right. And we were climbing, and darkness began to come. Those were demons. And that sister's heart was hurt because she said, many got consumed. But you sitting here this morning under the sound of my voice don't have to be consumed because you're under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as you run into him, there's not a demon spirit that can do anything to you but retreat and run, looking back over like this, because they see Christ in you, who is the hope of glory. That's who they see when you're addressing them. Christ. That's right. Christ in you. That's who they see. That's who they bow to. Not us, but Christ in us. And Christ is in you. Dealing with another person, and the same person, and the Spirit said, this is to help. I thought that I could see in my mind's eye a visualization, there I go, of the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the side of me with his arms outstretched to this particular sister. And I said, where's Jesus, demon? Is he behind me, spirit? And the demon said, no, he's in you. And that's the truth. Christ is in you. You know, God makes some of these foul demon spirits tell the truth. A spirit told me once, he said, Jesus is making me bow and crawl out. I said, bow and crawl and get out in the name of Jesus. See, God hates demons. And he wants us to have the same heart. This is why I bring this up. Jesus really hates demons because he wants you to see that they're out to destroy you. As much love as Christ has for us, that's the opposite of what he has for demon spirits. He hates them, but he loves us. You know, we need to be getting rid of cities like jealousy, envy. God's going to use us all, brother. Tell the demon to get out. Criticalness. You know, these are demons that speak to our minds. Judgmentalness. Discrediting spirits. Why would you want to discredit your brother? The demon does. We should not want to discredit one another. We should want to lift up one another. We should ought to want to just give a cold drink of water to a brother in need when he's down and not discredit them. Repulsion. I just can't stand to be around this particular person. That's not you. That's a spirit that doesn't want to be around Christ in that person. Spirits of racism. Ridiculous. We're one in the body of Jesus Christ. Blood washed. Tell the demons that. Contention, division, schism. But like I said, we're being unified, tied in cords of love by Jesus Christ. Seduction, lust, etc., etc. God wants us to get rid of these remaining cities. Regardless of this feeling, brother. Regardless of the feeling, sister, God wants you to get rid of this demon. When God can find a people who are truly concerned about his church, like I've been saying, truly concerned for lost souls and not worried about themselves, and when he can find a people truly impacted by sin in the church, he's going to move. That's right. Ezra chapter 9, you can turn with me here. Here was a man that was impacted by what was going on in the church. Did you know in the universal body of Jesus Christ, there's lots of sin? Brother, there's so much sin in the church. Demons are sitting right in the pews, in the music, in the choir stands, and behind the sacred pulpits. Making themselves right at home. God doesn't want them to make themselves right at home in the church. They don't belong in the church. That's where they belong. Ezra 9 verses 1 through 5. Now when these things were done, the princesses came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priest and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, etc., demons. Verse 2. For they have taken up their daughters for themselves. You see, sister and brother, that if you're single, let me just stop here for a minute. What would you want with somebody in the world? You see, the demons have put a mirage spirit over some of the single brothers in this body. Getting them to think that the women in the world are more beautiful than the saints, the precious, beautiful flowers in the church. And that's a deception, if anything. You need to get delivered, brother, so you can see with God's eyes. Lots of beautiful flowers to be picked. Verse 2, for they have taken up their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands, yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. It's the rulers out here, some of the leaders in the church that are responsible for the sin in the church. God's going to remove some of these leaders. And that's why you're here, to be trained up, to move in position. And when I heard this thing, Ezra, this is Ezra speaking. He heard something. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head. I can't pluck too much off of my head. It's getting a little bit in my eyes, so I had to get a haircut. Growing down, blowing my ears and stuff. And up my beard and sat down astonied. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, Community Chapel, and many others, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And this is the verse that I want us to look at. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garments and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Ezra was impacted by the sin in the church. You know, this word astonied, according to Young's, could mean to be silent, astonished. Strong says amazed. He was numb. Rotherham, stunned. In other words, he was speechless. Eyes probably just bugging out of his head. Could not believe what the church had gotten themselves into. But he didn't stay there sulking and murmuring about the sin. He didn't do that. Ezra knew there was no use in doing this. He knew of only one thing to do, and that was to get on his face and cry to God. See, God doesn't want us sulking and murmuring about the sin. He wants us to cry out to him and get concerned and believe that God is God and that he changes not, and that it's his church, and that he's big enough to do what he set out to do. And if we would get concerned and let God do his work, God will do it. But he wants us to watch and to intercede for the church of Jesus Christ. You see, when God begins to see a concern in your heart, he moves. It's in our hands, brother. Ezra 10 and 1, I've got it right here, so you don't have to turn unless you want to. Now, when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, he was interceding, weeping. He was weeping. This man was affected, really affected. And casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel, hallelujah, a very great congregation of men and women and children. For the people wept sore. Why were the people weeping? Because Ezra was weeping. He was crying out for the sin in the church. He was associating himself with the church. You know, I can hear Ezra crying out now, saying, Lord God of heaven, have mercy upon us. Because we have transgressed thy commandments. We have not trusted you and believed your word. We have not believed that you have said what you said you are to be. Forgive us. Forgive us for sleeping. Forgive us for not moving into the places where you want us to move. Have mercy. You know, Ezra got emotional. Someone says, though, I just don't like all of that emotion of interceding. You know, brother, when you get God's heart for souls, for his people, you will get emotional. Ezra was affected by the sin in the church. That's just one individual of many in the Bible that were affected by the sin in the church. You know, because Ezra was standing in the gap, he was able to impact people. And brother, if you have plans on impacting people, if you want God to use you, then stand in the gap with Christ. Intercede and watch with him. Get his mind and get his heart. You will impact people for God's glory. He had God's heart. God hates sin. Ezra hated sin. God hates demons. Earl Failor hates demons. You know, many times, many Christians are still picking up the phone and having a conversation with demons. Ring. Hello. This is demon. How are you doing today? You're in a bad mood. You're discouraged. You're a failure. You're ugly. You're defeated. And then they are subtle enough to get in the first person. I'm defeated. You know what you need to do, sister? You need to hang up. And then you need to go one step further. Pull the plug right out. Take you some scissors and cut it up and throw it out the door. Don't pick it up and listen to demons. They are liars. You know, Ezra impacted people because he was on his face to God. And like Earl was saying this morning, if you desire to know the will of God, we've got to have a life of prayer. When we get concerned, and this is the truth, God gets concerned. That's the truth. Isaiah 62 and verse 1, Christ is saying, I will not rest. But in other translation, he is saying, I will not keep silent. Christ is not keeping silent. God is calling us to be intercessors with Christ. Intercessors don't keep silent. It's not that they don't take vacations, you know, and enjoy themselves, but they don't keep silent about the work of Jesus Christ. Something is goading them. Something is goading them that God's people be set free. Men like Ezra, Elijah, Daniel, David, Jimmy Swaggart, David Wilkerson, Don Barnett, many in this body are being tapped on this moment to be intercessors with Christ. Verse 6 in Isaiah 62 says, I have set or appointed watchmen. Rotherham says like this, says it like this. Upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, have I appointed watchmen all the day and all the night through. Let them not hold their peace. O ye that put Yahweh in mind, do not take rest to yourselves. Verse 7, neither give rest unto him until he establish, until he set forth Jerusalem, the city of peace, as a praise in the earth. God wants us to give him no rest. You say, now I thought God never rest, but he is speaking after the manner of man. And God wants us to be continually beseeching him for the church. Jesus, your church. Begin to stir your church. Your church sleeps. Jesus, begin to do what you promised to do. And begin to take that authority and dominion that you have in Christ and wrestle with those principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and come against them in Jesus' name. When you're in the spirit, many times those ugly prince demons will try to intimidate you. But don't be intimidated. Stand right there and know that the angels of the living God are right beside you. Stand there and look them face, ball, eyeball, eyeball. Let them know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you're not going to destroy this church, demon. I'm coming against you not with my own power, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get out of my way. I command the roadblocks to be moved. I command the promises of God to come down upon his church. Commanding power like Elijah, according to my word. Keep not silent, Christ is saying. Rest not, Christ is saying. Watch with me. God wants all the world to see the church. The true church. The true blood-washed, spirit-filled, beautiful, marvelous bride of Jesus Christ. And he wants all the marvel. Some of us who are married, we know. I know when I first got married, and, you know, you come down the aisleway and, you know, everybody, you know, they don't too much take notice of you. They see you. Oh, nice tuxedo. Nice tie. But then the music changes. And everybody knows something special is coming. The bride. And the bride gets everyone's attention. Boy, my wife caught my attention. And I tell you, when I saw her coming down the aisles, tears filled my eyes. I think her mother said, Donald, you look like you was getting ready to cry. I was so joyful. So joyful. And this is Jesus' heart for his bride. He wants the world to see her and to marvel at her because he has good things for his people. Not only for his people, but for them that are lost. They're wayward sons. Just look at it like that. You should be grieved when a brother or a sister is maybe disfellowshipped. We don't have to know the reasons, but you can still begin to pray. God, move upon them. Lord, don't let them lose out. The devil wants to destroy him out there. And we know that God gives them over to Satan that they might turn and run back to God. But we still should be praying. You see, the lake of fire was prepared just for the devil and his angels. God never intended for man to face that type of judgment. Remember the analogy of the noose. And the demon, and laughing with glee, they're on their way to the lake of fire. Remember that. Remember when a brother or sister is down and bound up. Take that sword out of that sheath, brother. Keep that shield of faith up. And that helmet of salvation. and your loins girt about with truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and begin to say, you demon spirit, you're going to release my brother in Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be like David. Say, is there not a cause? Regardless of what others might think or say about you, is there not a cause? Many mock David. Who do you think you are? Many in the church world, when God begins to raise us up, who do you think you are? We can say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? The devil and his demon forces have been mocking the church too long. Is there not a cause? And we can be just like David and say, I don't come to you in my own strength, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's him that you're going to bow to. Watchmen are not only to be intercessors, but are to bring good tidings of good and to let the church know that God reigns alone, victorious. Isaiah 52 and verses 7 through 8 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him, Christ, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. The saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice together, for they shall see eye to eye. When the Lord shall bring again Zion, the exalted ones. This word sing in the Hebrew has the idea of to sing with a strong voice together. And this eye to eye has the sense of meaning to see real close. The same things knit together. Unified, unbreakable. A 3-4 cord is not easily broken. Christ is going to be with us. Watchmen, watch and wait on God and listen. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 and 8 says, in the New American Standard Version, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. Now this rampart has the idea of, and according to the American Heritage Dictionary, it says it's a fortification consisting of an embankment, anything that serves to protect. And I wanted a little bit more, so I went to Fred H. White's book, Manners and Customs of Bible Lands, and he said the Oriental city had two types of towers located in it. First was the tower constructed as a part of the city wall. At this point, the wall was built higher and served as a fortification. The approach of an enemy could be sighted from here, and weapons hurled down upon men who attempted to take the city were thrown. And this is what God wants the watchmen in the church to be doing. Standing up high with Christ. Watching out for the devil. This is the truth. It's like we're standing up on an embankment. And we're sitting with our swords and our sheath. Peace with Jesus Christ. And we're waiting and hearing his voice. And he says, behold, my son, the enemy. Where, Lord? To the left. What is he about to do, Lord? He is trying to come in from the back door through various laws. I warn the people. Behold the enemy. Where, Lord? Before you. What is he about to do? Bring division in the body. Proclaim unity. Continue to watch and wait upon me, for I will bring my church into unity. God wants this type of watchman in the church. Many watchmen, though, are doing this in the universal church. This is the truth. And you know what? The enemy climbs the wall, and he's right up on him. And then he begins to come into the pews, makes himself right at home, gets into the music, lots of flesh, and most Christians are bebopping instead of dancing in the spirit. I say this with all respect to the men of God out there, but they're deceived, a lot of them. And they're bebopping right along with them and thinking this is the real thing. But see, God wants us to be watching and praying and interceding. God doesn't want the demons to feel at home in community chapel. You know, they don't feel at home here. They twinge and feel uncomfortable. They really do. I begin to deal with a person in deliverance, and I begin to sing the songs like Keith was saying. Me and Jesus are more than a majority. This demon says, stop it. Stop it. And so I just kept on singing it. Hallelujah. Me and Jesus are more than a majority. We shall win. Yes. And that demon says, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You know, when we are singing and dancing and worshiping the Lord, they leave. And that's good. I don't want them around in the church of Jesus Christ. A watchman waits to hear from God in prayer to speak to God's people, like Jimmy Swaggart, David Wilkerson, and Don Barnett. Don and Barbara Barnett hear from God. Psalms 85 and verses 8. Psalms 85 and 8a. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Here the psalmist, having spoken to God, he waited, and he waited to hear what God had to say. You see, out there in the church world, they're getting their ideas from Reader's Digest. They're getting their ideas from the world and Hollywood. But God wants us to hear from him, right from his throne, and to preach his word without fear of favor. A watchman. What is a watchman? He is one who speaks what God gives him to speak. And he preaches without fear of favor. He's not worrying about the demon manifestations that he might come into contact, and preaching God's unadulterated, uncompromised, pure word of God. He is one who sees the enemy coming. And when he spots him, he blows the trumpet and begins to warn the people. For the enemy is approaching the city. Take your places. Begin to stand against him, for we shall win. He is one who is encouraging and strengthening and lifting up and giving a cold drink of water to the people of the living God. A watchman is keeping not silent, but he is proclaiming God's word. He is one who is not pointing and condemning and putting down God's people, but he is the one who is helping and encouraging and strengthening and saying, we're going to make it. Come on. A watchman, keep not silent. There is no picnic or vacation for the watchman, for he is constantly looking out for the enemy and the church spiritually. There are watchmen, like I've mentioned, in the universal church of Jesus Christ, where the enemy has made himself at home, and the heart of Jesus Christ is grieved. In my church, the enemy is at home. Will not my people wake up? Will not many that I'm moving upon by my spirit watch and pray with me? Will they not intercede? Can they not see the need and the urgency of the hour? It's late. Will they not watch and pray with me for my people? Will they not watch and pray with me? Will they not watch and pray and intercede with me? It grieves the heart of God that in the music, demons are singing. Type beats from Africa, where the home of demon beats were made of, and the bebop and all that bopping, stirring up demons, and it's in some of the Christian music. But thank God for Don Barnett, who won't compromise with demon spirits, who let God have his way, let the anointing of God come out of the music and set the people's spirits free. This is a spiritual walk, not a soulical. Men speaking what the devil gives them to say. Demons standing up in the pews. Say this, Christ didn't rise from the grave, come out of the grave. Say this, he wasn't born of a virgin. That's good. Lots of things are being said like this, right behind the pulpits. Men that were not even called of God. Not even called of God. But many of you brothers right here before me this day are called of Jesus Christ himself. Called to be spiritual watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. To warn the people of the approachment of the enemy. That God might have his way. Watch with him. He's calling you to be spiritual watchmen. In conclusion, and I love you, God is calling us to watch with Christ, to help with God and Christ to restore the church. Goes back to Genesis 1 and verse 26. Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. God is calling each of you brothers, no matter what demon spirits are saying to your mind, to be spiritual watchmen. Maybe not to the full-time ministry, but you can be a watchman anyway, to watch for souls. God is calling us to wait on God and to seek his face, to wrestle with him in prayer, like Jacob, to take the authority and dominion that you have in prayer and fight the principalities and powers and the rulers of this darkness who are trying to destroy us. And not rest, neither keep silent, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. For God's name is going to be glorified. For he will have a people sold out to him, trembling at his word, contrite in heart, loving one another. Truly, the church of Jesus Christ will be victorious. For we shall win. Keep not silent.